Father, we just, God, we thank you so much for the beauty of your love, for the beauty of who you are, the beauty of your sacrifice, God. Beauty of your resurrection. The beauty, God, that we come into this place and you meet us here, God. We go from this place and you meet us where we're at, God. The beauty that we have a God that loves us unconditionally and walks through every fire and every flood with us. The beauty that you never leave us, God. You never forsake us, even when we forsake you, God. You never leave us. I'm overwhelmed by your goodness and I'm overwhelmed by your love. Thank you, God, for this time this morning, God. Lord, I pray as we open your word this morning, God, I pray that you show us what you want us to see this morning, God. You speak to every heart in this place. Every heart that hears your word, God, I pray that you speak to that this morning, God. We love you so much. Jesus. All right. You have kids? Children's Church, so you guys can head out, so y'all don't have to listen to me. All right. Marty, cut those lights on there so nobody falls asleep. There we go. Appreciate it, brother. All right. Is it good to be in God's house this morning? Amen. That is something we absolutely take for granted in this country. I do it. I do it. And I come up here on Sunday mornings and I get the opportunity, and it is an opportunity to be one of the people that leads you guys in worship. And I take it for granted, the fact that I can get up in the morning, I can come here, I can worship you, I can wear my, you know, I love Jesus t-shirts and bumper stickers, and nobody's trying to shoot me with a machine gun, nobody's trying to lock me up. What a blessing it is to be in this country. What a blessing it is to be in a place that we can worship freely. And so don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. You know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It absolutely is. So, I guess, you know, Sid's not here. So y'all got me this morning. I think Marty is, I think you got it next week, right? I hope so. Marty's got it next week. Sid will be back for a week. And then Sid's getting surgery. And then Nick's got us the following. So in the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear four different people, four different styles, four different messages, but all from the same God, and all to speak to the same people. God does not have to use just one person. God does not have to use me. God does not have to just use these worshipers here. God wants to use so many things in our lives, so many different voices in our life. Be open to different voices in your life, as long as they're pointing in the right direction. Be closed to voices that are pointing in the wrong direction. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning, hearing God. Of course, I have to have an illustration. Trying to figure out, when you do this, and I don't know if Marty and Nick struggle with the same thing, Sid, and I'll tell you guys this all the time, Sid has this ability. I mean, he's teaching every Sunday, which is an absolute, I can't imagine the challenge that is to preach every Sunday. And then when we're normally having Wednesday nights, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and you're just always asking God, what do I need to bring your people? It's kind of a heavy thing, Lisa. You're like, golly, I mean, this is kind of a big deal. You know, if somebody's in here that really needs to hear something, and I don't do it right, and they don't hear that thing, what will happen? You know, we put it all on ourselves. That's so easy to do, but God reminds me that He's God, and that I'm just a voice, and if I screw up, He still loves you. You know, if I mess something up, He's got you covered. So, it takes a little pressure off of me. Not that I don't try to hear, but that's the only way I can get up here, guys. I'm telling you, the only way I can get up here is, God, if I screw it up, you fix it afterwards, okay? That's the only way this happens. But I was trying to figure out what should I speak on. Thinking, should I tag in with some of the stuff Sid said? Should I do something totally different? Should I play a video? Should we play a game? Should we find, you know, stickers under our seats? I didn't know what to do this morning. I really didn't. And so I just opened the Word. I began to look around, and a lot of times when I'm searching, like, God, what do I need to do? A lot of times I'll just hone in on a scripture. And I was honing in a strange scripture. I was in Joshua. And Joshua is an awesome book. It's a lot of awesome stuff happens in the book of Joshua. But there's just some sections in it that I began to read, and that we're going to kind of come out of that this morning. But what I began to see as I read this, and we'll read it here in a moment, was the illustration I wanted to kind of point out to you guys. So I used to be in marching band, okay? So, and Madeline's going to relate to this. She's my marching band child. But that's what I did in school. I know you're thinking, this guy had to play football. Wasn't funny. That wasn't a joke. Just kidding. He had to play football. I know you're thinking that. This guy is ripped to the max. There's no way he didn't play football. No, I was in the marching band. I know it's shocking to you, but I was in the marching band. I enjoyed music. They told me I had an overbite. They told me I was bucktooth, basically, so I couldn't play a trumpet. I had to play a trombone. You know, they said, look, you need a mouthpiece that's bigger to fit those buck teeth in. They didn't tell me that, but that's what I felt. But anyway, I was in the marching band, and I started like in fifth grade, playing the trombone. And then we got to be in marching band in eighth grade at Bremen. You know, now I think you have to be in ninth grade, but we could be in eighth graders and be in marching band. In marching band, you always have, it's a lot like football in the fact that you got to start in the summer and you got to get going because you got to figure out your show. You know, you got to figure out what you're going to do. It's a complicated thing because you're not only memorizing your music, which I am terrible at, was always terrible at, and still terrible at. That's why there's a music stand in front of me, and sometimes I feel glued to it, and I've prayed for relief from that, but I haven't done a lot about it. So, it's hard to memorize music. And then you have to memorize your drill, your marching, where you're going, what you're doing. Because if you watch a marching band, we're trying our best to make shapes and tell you something, you know, doing all this stuff. There's purpose in everywhere you're going. It maybe just looks cool. We may spell out Bremen is cool. You know, there's just all sorts of stuff. And so you have to put those two things together. You have to mesh those two things together. Because I was used to playing my instrument sitting in a chair, but then all of a sudden they're like, okay, now you got to pick your instrument up, and you got to walk around in specific spots every four counts or whatever it may be. So it adds a little level of difficulty to it. So you have to have band camp. You have to have camp where you come in the summertime, and especially if you're new, you have to learn how to march. That's what you do. And God kept kind of throwing stuff at me, and this may be a little disjointed, and I apologize. But you know, 1 week, and then I'm gone. Somebody else. I mean, what? Don't worry. Come back next week. It'll be better. So when you march in the marching band, it's different. It's different than like if you see a military parade. It's a different kind of marching. You do a different thing. You have, and I used to be really good at it. I'm going to demonstrate. Okay, I should have wore my white shoes. But when you march in the marching band, now watch this professionalism, okay? Watch my feet, okay? You don't march like this, flat-footed. Because what would happen if you're marching flat-footed and you're trying to play an instrument? It's going to jar. You're going to be like, wah, 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 wah. It's going to sound like that, which I sound that way anyway, but it's still, you're not supposed to. So you don't march like you do in your military, okay? You don't march like you see some of the, you know, the high stepping and all that stuff. Now, some marching bands do, and they're really, really cool, but we never did that. You march by you roll your feet, and you have to put your heel down and your toe straight up. And the higher you could get it, the cooler you were. And that's how you did it. So when you marched, you rolled. You kind of made this rolling action. So you're doing this where you're rolling your feet like that. And if you watch the marching bands, when they're really playing and they're really marching from one place to the other, they're going to be doing this. They're going to be rolling their feet. What they're trying to do is make their upper body as smooth as possible. Trying to make things smooth so that when you're blowing in this instrument, it's a nice smooth tone that's coming out. If you do this, it's going to shake everything. So, anyway, and we'll come back to that later. So what we would do let me get back down here. I feel like I'm too high. What we would do in band camps, we'd do these things called drill downs. And I guess, Madeline, do y'all still do drill downs? They may call it something different, where you get in a block and you listen to commands. And then do people still peel out if they screw up? So we called it a drill down. Y'all may call it something else. I don't know the lingo now. But the old 90s bands, we called it the drill down. So everybody gets in this big block. You form a block on the field. You know, every, you know, five yards, however you're splitting up, you make this block, and you're this big unit. And the drum major, or the person giving the commands, they start clapping. We start giving you the beat. And usually there's a snare drum up there. They're giving you the beat. Okay, this is the beat. This is what's happening. This is where we're going. And then you start giving commands. And it may be forward, hut. I don't even know what they say anymore. There's a lot of different ways to say it. But you would have to listen to the command, and you'd have to respond to the command. And the idea was everybody moves together. If I tell you to go left, you go left. If I tell you to go right, you go right. And if you messed up, it was kind of an honor system thing. Or sometimes your section leader would sit out and say, hey, you just screwed up. But you were kind of supposed to be an honor thing. If you messed up, you're like, if you went right instead of left, you know, you had to go to the side, stand at attention with your horn until the drill down was over. Is that still how y'all do it, Madeline? Or do y'all do push-ups? Or what do y'all do? They just sit out. See, you know, back in our day, it was tough and hard. Now it's easy. I kid her about that all the time. Oh, is that all y'all do? You don't have your show on? They're more entertaining than we were, I promise you. But, so you have to stand at attention and wait for it to be over. And it was this, you know, it's one of these things where you just go and go and go until there's one person standing, and that's the champion. That's the drill-down champ for the day. And God was really putting that in my mind when I was reading these scriptures. And we'll go through them here in a second. But a lot of times when you do that, you'd start off at this slow rhythm. So everybody was learning everything, you know, doing everything right. But then if not enough people were getting out, you'd speed it up. You'd speed the tempo up. And you would say the commands in a quicker succession so that it was harder. You had to think a lot more and more quickly. And it would just get more difficult and difficult. And that's how we would do the drill downs. And why were we doing that? We were doing that for us to remember commands. We were doing it so we could memorize and we could learn how to move together, how to stay at the right position. Because when you're marching, you don't want to be all bunched up. You want to be in the same space the whole time. You know, if me and Rhett were marching, I'd need to stay this distance from him. If I got this close to him and then backed up, it would look weird and would be bad and we'd be judged poorly. So that's why you would do it. You needed to learn stuff, so it was a great way to learn things. What I got to do a lot of times, especially probably my junior and senior year, for sure, because I was the assistant drum major. If y'all want to look that up in history books, it's true. I was the assistant drum major. And so a lot of times during drill downs, they would get me to do the commands. They would have me come in and do it. Why did they do this? Does anybody have any idea why they wanted me to do the commands? Come on, you can say it. I'm really loud and obnoxious. You can hear me. Like, what were you going to say? That's true. So somebody shot the drum major. I was next in line. I was loud. As y'all hear every Sunday, I'm a little loud. I don't know, God gave me loudness for some reason. And so they would have me do it, especially early on. They would have me do it a lot of times. I would give the commands. And what I liked to do when I did it, I took great pleasure in, like, breaking people's ankles and stuff. It was so fun. And we used to practice at Bremen. There was this parking lot still there where the student parking lot is there, if you know. If you don't, just this, like, sloped parking lot. The worst place you can practice marching band on the planet. Because a step out there, and then when you get on a flat surface, it screws you up because you're used to climbing and going down hills. But we used to practice out there, and there's ditches all the way around it. Like, on the one side, and then at the bottom, there's this kind of like a drop-off. There's some bumpers, and it's like a drop-off into a ditch. So I would march everybody as fast as I could to the edge of that ditch. As fast as I could, especially when it's getting difficult. When I was, all right, time to stop playing, I'm ready to start getting some people out. I would march them as fast as I could to that ditch, and then I would march them all the way till they were going to hit a car that was still parked there. I would march them in crazy places at crazy speeds because what I was trying to do was get them to trust what I was saying and trust that what I told them. I wasn't going to get them hurt, but they didn't need to stop. So they would be marching. All of a sudden, they'd be getting close, and they'd be like, oh, no, no. And they'd mess up. I never threw by anybody in that ditch, ever. I would stop them like right here. They'd stop right there every time. And it was a fun thing to do. I enjoyed it. But what we were doing is they were beginning to trust the sound of my voice. They were beginning to trust that their commands are going to come through at the right time. As long as I listen and obey them at the right time, I won't fall in this ditch. I won't hit this car. I won't run into this or that. So that was kind of what that was all about. And Joshua, and this is where this comes from, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18, and it's obscure the way that I feel like God showed me this, but it's what He showed me out of reading this. What's happening in Joshua is we are about to take Jericho. Jericho is the first major city. When Moses is gone, Joshua takes over, and they're, the children of Israel, God's people, are about to get to enter into the promised land. We're about to go to a place. They've been wandering in the desert. They've been lost. And finally, this new generation is going in, and we're taking Jericho, and He's giving all these instructions about what to do in Jericho. He's giving commands to His people. He's telling them what they need to do. And in verse 18, He tells them something that's very important. We'll find out later that's super important. He says, as He's telling them how to do it, we're going to shout, we're going to walk for 7 days, read the story. If you're not familiar with the walls of Jericho, it's absolutely fundamental and awesome part of our faith. But that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on in verse 18, after He's telling them, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, we're going to save Rahab, we're going to do all this. In verse 18, He says, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make up the camp of Israel. You will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacrificed to the Lord and must go to His treasury. So basically what He's telling the people of Israel is, don't take stuff. We're about to pillage this place. The walls are going to fall down. But you don't need to be taking stuff. When you see that genie in the bottle gold thing down there and you think that'd be cool to put on my mantle, it'd be awesome, I could sell this somewhere else. God's like, no, don't take anything. It's pretty rough. They kill everybody. The Old Testament's brutal. If you want to talk about some real stuff going down, the Old Testament's where it happened. Everybody died. He said everybody's going to die. Because sometimes we have to kill those things that want to destroy us instead of letting them live with us. And putting them in a cage and saying, oh, I can control this. I can control these people of Jericho, so I'm going to have them be slaves to me. No, eventually the people of Jericho will overtake you. So sometimes God has you kill things in your life. Don't be too squeamish to kill things that need to be killed in your life. That's not what I'm talking about. He says, don't take this stuff. Don't take anything. And if you take anything, something bad is going to happen. So He gives them very clear instructions. Very clear, very, this is what I want you to do. Well, a guy named Achan doesn't listen to that. So the next chapter is about Joshua sends some men out. They're going to fight the people of Ai. It's going to go smooth. But this guy named Achan, he took some stuff. He took it upon himself. He took some stuff and he hid it in his tent. And that's what the next chapter is about. It's about this guy named Achan. He had this stuff. So the next time the children of Israel go out to take Ai, they get whipped. They lose like 30-something people. Get killed. They get whipped. They get run off. And Joshua knows immediately, something's wrong because God said this is how it's going to go. As long as we did it this way, it didn't go this way. So apparently we didn't do it the way God told us to do it. So he starts finding out, okay, what happened? Who's got something? Who took something from Jericho? And they get down to it and they find out it's Achan. And it's very interesting. It's very, it's a good revelation on what we can do to ourselves, by how we can get ourselves off track by not listening to God. So they have to kill Achan and everything else. It's a big deal. So you see that God was very specific on don't take stuff. Don't take stuff. So you think, okay, God doesn't want us to take stuff. That's how God works. God doesn't want us to take stuff. He just wants us to destroy it and move on. And then we jump to Joshua chapter 8, verse 2. This is our second round at going after Ai. This is after they've kind of ask God for forgiveness. They've gotten everything straightened out. They've gotten Achan straightened out. He's cleaned up. It's like, all right, God, we've got it all cleared up. Now we're going to do what you want us to do again. Let's try to take this city called Ai. And in verse 2, it says, "You shall do to Ai and its kings as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city." And it goes through and it tells you how they're going to do this. So I read I was reading through this passage, and I'm reading through this section of Joshua, and that's when I began to think, why would God in one city have you take stuff and the next city not take stuff? Don't take stuff in Jericho, but hey, in Ai, get what you want. And there may be other reasons, but the reason that God gave me, and remember that when you read the Word, there may be other things, but what God is speaking to you right now is the situation that you're in right now. God can speak so many different things through one verse. What He told me yesterday was, drill down. Drill down. Because sometimes God wants to see if you're going to listen to Him. And that's a hard thing for us to get through our heads sometimes, because we think every time God does something that it's for this deep purpose, and it is, but there's a purpose mixed in there sometimes that God needs to know that you're going to listen to Him. And you need to know to have faith in Him to listen to Him. So sometimes in our life, guys, God's almost doing a drill down with us. God's almost saying, all right, I'm going to walk you to the edge of that ditch. And I want to see if you've got the guts. I want to see if you've got the faith to listen to me. And you keep doing what I tell you to do until I tell you to do something else. Because there was a command we used a lot. It was called about face. You want to get somebody to fall down, you get going 100 miles an hour and tell them about face, and they've got to plant this foot. They have to spin and take back off this way. That's almost always what I would do when I got them to the edge. I wouldn't turn them left. I wouldn't turn them right. I'd just do it at about face. And they would put their foot to the edge of that ditch, and they would turn and go back the other way. God will do that to you. God is a loving God. God is a God of grace and forgiveness. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants His people to listen to Him. Because we have been yoked with something. And that is to spread to the world that doesn't know Him who He is. And I think we as a church, sometimes we try to take it easy and we try to get off easy. James tries to get off easy. Like, oh, I'm saved and I worship and I lead worship and Sid lets me speak when he's out of town. And, I'm doing pretty good. God's like, well, you know, how many people have you told about me that don't know anything about me? How many people without hope have you given hope that aren't just walking into this room, aren't just flipping on the YouTube thing that we're doing? Guys, God wants to train us to do something. We are here for a purpose. Guys, if y'all don't hear anything else this morning, He has you here for a purpose. You're right where you're at for a purpose right now. He wants something from us. He wants to, like I said earlier, He wants to go deeper with us. He wants to go to a new place with us. So I've got a few questions on knowing all that. And y'all stay with my illustration. The first thing you have to ask yourself, am I participating at all in this? Am I even in the marching band? See, I loved band so much that when I was in seventh grade, I was what they called a band aid. Sixth and seventh grade, I was what they called a band aid. Man, it was corny too. They gave us these sweatshirts that had a big band aid on it, and it said band aid. Get it? We had to walk around with that on. But I love bands so much. I love being around it. I love music so much. I love hearing the music. They did a Bohemian Rhapsody show that year. And it was like, it was so cool. Man, they had me putting out flags. They had me putting up, the Tino was the drum major then. Black guy that would do a backflip. He was so cool. Coolest drum major you'd ever meet. And we had to set up his little podium for him. Me and Justin had to set up his podium before it. But you know what? I wasn't in the band. I never got judged. I didn't really add to anything. I wasn't in the band. Are you a band-aid this morning, or are you in the band? Are you marching? Are you playing an instrument? Are you doing something that makes an impact? If you're not, that's real easy. And what I'm talking about, guys, I won't make this vague to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, if you've never made that, if you've never made that confession, if you've never said, God, you know, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe that you love me. I believe that you came and died for me. And I believe that you have good things for me. If you've never said that, if you've never believed that, and that's not who you are, that's not your new identity, that's called salvation, and that's where it starts. And I don't want just to assume, because we're Victory Fellowship, that just because you walk in the doors, you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, because you may not be, and it's okay. That's okay. Because God has something for all of us, and it starts right there. That is the start to every journey you're going to go on. The start to every marching band is, hey, I want to play. I want to sign up. I want to be part of this thing. I want to be part of what's going on here. I see what you're doing. I see what's happening, and I want to be part of it. God, I see what you're doing. I see what you did for me, and I want to be part of that. I want to be part of your kingdom. I want to be part of your army. I want to be part of who you've called me to be. I want to fulfill my purpose in life. If you have not done that, start there. Join the band. Get on the field. Commit to Him. And then when you get in the band, remember something. Remember something. You don't march like everybody else. You don't stomp your feet. You don't beat your chest. You roll your feet. And you know why you roll your feet? Because you're carrying something. You're carrying something that means something. You're carrying something that produces a sound that changes the atmosphere. I mean, I know we were crappy, but when you're on the football field and you hear the band play something, there's got to be something that says, all right, that's our band. I said, I'm going to do this. And the crowd gets fired up. They hear that song. Whatever it is, the fight song, whatever it is, you know, that's the whole purpose. The drums start playing. That's why football games have got to be terrible now without the marching bands. I mean, it's got to be terrible. It's got to be boring, right? I mean, what are they doing? It's a bunch of guys hitting each other. I mean, where's the band? That's why you go, right? But you have something to add. God has put something in you, and when you say, I'm going to be part of this, I've got something to add. I wasn't an athlete. I never knocked anybody down. But, buddy, when it came time to play the fight song and get fired up, I was the loudest trombone out there. That's because that was my part. That's what God called me to do for what I was doing. Rhett was the starting quarterback. You had your part. Awesome part, cool part. Everybody knows Rhett. People ask me, hey, you work with Rhett? Yeah, I work with Rhett. But, you know, I was the assistant drum major. You know that. I'm older than Rhett. I was already gone when he played. But you got to start somewhere. You've got to start. Next thing that God really wanted me to ask myself and you guys is, do you know His voice? Do you know His voice? So when we're doing a drill down, sometimes we'd make noise. Sometimes the section leaders, like the head, the lead trombone guy, the lead tuba guy, you know, they would be on the side and we would make noise to see if you could hear the commands of the one that you were supposed to listen to. Talk about football. The quarterback is given plays. You're saying stuff. You know? You're saying, Blue 42, Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. And some of the stuff you say means something, and some of it doesn't mean anything at all. The players know what to listen for. They know the sound of the quarterback's voice. They know the sound of the drum major's voice. Do you know His voice this morning? Are you just hearing the sounds? You know why, Bremen, we have the cowbells? We do not want you to hear your quarterback's voice. That's the last thing we want you to do. We don't want you to hear what you're supposed to do. What, did he say Omaha two times or five times? I didn't hear it. I don't know what to do. I'm off sides. Woo, we win. That's what Satan's doing to you. He's sitting there in the stadium with those cowbells, and he's like, oh no, you're not going to hear what God's telling you. You're not going to hear what He's telling you, because I'm going to get in the way. I've got this bell, and I'm going to ring it. Or I'm going to say, hey, look, go over there. You know, I'm yelling all this stuff to distract you from what you're supposed to be hearing. Do you know His voice this morning? If you know His voice, it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how many cowbells are ringing. It doesn't matter what's going on in that stadium. In that time that God is speaking to you, when you hear His voice, you know that's God right there. I know that's God, and this makes no sense. I can't believe He just called Omaha five times, because that means that we're going to do this, this, and this. We only practiced that one time. I don't know. But I know that's what He just said, so that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Do you hear His voice over others? It's kind of part of that. I'm going to tell you something about Marching Band is we had commands. But not everybody had the same commands. Like we would say, Band 10 Hut, and we said something about pride. I can't remember. They yell something different now, I think. What do y'all yell when y'all say 10 Hut? Blue. They say blue. So everybody says stuff differently. But they're all in marching bands, and they're all doing the same thing that we're doing. But their commands would be a little bit different. God has a different set of commands for you than maybe He does for somebody else. So you gotta learn what He's telling you. You gotta learn how He's speaking that to you. Gotta know your tribe. Gotta know your tribe. You gotta know where you're at. Because God wants to use you. Let me put it this way to you. There's in church, there's people that feel differently about a lot of religious stuff. And I don't want to say religious, but our walk, our faith walk is a little bit different than other people's, and theirs are different than ours. If you were to go to a mainline denomination Baptist church, if you were to go down to First Baptist today, I'm going to tell you there's some unbelievably amazing Spirit-filled Christians in that church that love God. They're doing amazing things for His kingdom, and they're listening to the play calls that God's telling them. But if I walked in there this morning with my cool blue jeans and my cool shirt, which I couldn't figure out if I should tuck it in or not this morning, I asked Kami. She said it didn't matter. But if I walked in there this morning and I got the microphone and I began to speak in tongues in that church, it wouldn't be received well. I'll just tell you right now, it probably wouldn't be received real well. And it's not because they don't love God. It's not because the Spirit of God's not in them. It's because that's not their journey right now in life. And that's okay. That's cool. It doesn't make us better than them or different. It just makes us that we've gone to a place in God's Word and believe certain things, and maybe they don't go there. So you need to know your tribe, is what I'm telling you. You need to know, how is God going to have me deal with this? Because He may have me come up and put hands on your shoulders and pray for your foot being bad or something like that. And if He's called you to do that, if He's equipped you to do that and you don't do that, He may not call somebody else to do that. He may be calling you to do that. Know His commands for you. Know what He's telling you. Because when He's telling you something, you know it specifically applies to you. If we went to band competitions and we heard other bands give commands, they would be different than ours. We knew that that was not our deal. That was not our tribe. I didn't even have to see their uniform. I could stand outside the stadium. I could hear the commands. That's not us. That's somebody else. Because their commands are different. And that's okay. They're doing their thing. They're doing what God called them to do. Do you follow His commands is kind of the last point I want to make, and then I want to hit a few things. Even when they make no sense, even when you're tired and hurting, even in the midst of a storm. I remember one night we were at a football game, and we used to be big on entering and leaving the stadium marching. That was kind of our thing. We were going to march in, we were going to march out. So stay in that world, because it really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things, because if it's a lightning storm, you need to get out. But then we would, we marched in the field to our cadence, and then we'd march out. We would file out, march out, and then we would get out by the bus, and we would stand, continue to march until the drum major told us to stop. Started pouring down rain one night. I can't remember where we were at. It was a away game. And the drum major, and that's another point. I ain't got there yet. Drum major, she came to me and said, "Hey, will you lead us out? They can't hear me. They can't hear me. Lead us out." I can't remember who it was, but it was the drum major at the time. "Lead us out of here. They can't hear me." It's because it started pouring down rain. We were supposed to go put our gear up. So, man, that's a yes. I'm doing something in uniform today. This is not, I'm getting to do something. So I gave the commands, and we marched out. And then we were all standing there. You know, we had a way we'd file in. It used to be really cool how we'd do it. And we'd stand there, and then the drums would be playing, and I'd say, you know, band halt, and we'd stop. You know, so I was able to get everybody out. They listened to me when all the other people in the stadium were running out. You know, all the visit, everybody's trying to run, find cover. It was like just a torrential downpour. But the band marched, and they listened to me, and we stayed in step. And we got out, and we did what we were called to do. We did what we were supposed to do in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos. Why? Because in band camp, they heard my voice. In band camp, I marched them to the edge of a ditch with no problems, and they listened to me, and they knew I wouldn't run them into anything. So when they hear my voice in the midst of that storm and the rain, and everybody's running everywhere for cover because it's raining, we do what we are supposed to do as the band. We marched out properly, and we lined up properly, and then we put our stuff up. You've got to be in a place where in the midst of the storm, because anybody can hear the commands in a quiet room. It's easy to hear God in this place this morning because we're all here for one thing. And it's easy to worship Him when this is going on. But what do you do in the midst of the storm in the middle of the week when the world's screaming something else? When the world's screaming it's on fire and there's chaos and it's about to fall apart and God's gone and God's dead and I don't know who you are, who you think you are. You Christians are such evil people and all this stuff is being thrown at you. Can you hear His commands then? Or do you get distracted by everything that's going on, by the stadium just emptying out because everybody's going crazy because there's a storm going on? See, I was really loud when I gave commands. That's why they had me there. But you know what? I wasn't the drum major. So when it came down to it, I got my trombone and I played. And I listened to them commands. Once they learned commands, they would let the drum major usually take back over. And we'd do drill downs with them. A lot of times it was a girl that was the drum major. So they were quieter than I was. They weren't as loud as I was. But you know what? They didn't have to be loud at that point. They didn't have to be loud anymore, Lisa, because you know what? They knew what the commands were at that point. So then they could hear this small, quiet voice. And they would know what they were supposed to do. Because they knew the commands. See, God sometimes will get in your face and scream at you like a drill sergeant to get you to straighten up because He loves you so much. And sometimes He's just in the background saying, left face, left. Right face, right. About face. About face. Band 10 hut. And you don't have to hear it loud. Because when you get to that place, that intimate place with God, He just has to look the right way. And you know what He wants you to do. You no longer need this loud, booming, in-your-face thing to happen. God can say, do this, do that. When the secrets, when the special forces go on a mission and stuff, and they're taking a building. I mean, I've watched enough movies, so I know exactly how this goes. They don't say, hey, Bill, go in that door right there. There's a bad guy in there. Shoot him. They do all this stuff. You know, kind of like baseball signs. Gordon can tell you how they do it. I don't know. But it's quiet. It's quiet because they know what they're going to do. They know what their mission is. So they don't need a bunch of extra stuff. They don't need me to yell at you anymore. They don't need James like, all right, you know, doing all this stuff. Because you know what you're supposed to do. You know what your mission is. And all you need to know is, God, do I go through that door or that door? And He's like, that door. I'm like, cool. That was the worst baseball sign giver in the world. They took me off third base when the kids were playing. They'd be like, oh, we're going to steal. I'm like, we're going to steal. And then I'd forget something, look for my bubble gum, and I'd give them the wrong sign. I was not good at it. Something to remember in the drill down. God just kept showing me stuff. I was writing stuff during worship this morning, and I'm going to wrap it up here in just a few minutes. But remember that part I told you when you got out you had to stand at attention? What were you doing when you were standing at attention? You were watching everybody else. You were watching everybody else and you were watching how people that were doing it right were doing it. Don't make the analogy, and I'm not making the analogy that God takes you out and you. That's all I'm saying. But I'm saying there are times in your life that God does want you to watch your brothers and sisters. He wants you to watch how they go through things. There's people in this room today that you need to watch how they're dealing with something in their life, because He's going to teach you something through how they deal with it. Always. It's always something to learn and glean. So when you're in 8th grade or 9th grade, and you just did a right face when you're supposed to do a left face, and you're standing there at attention, or you're just kind of hanging out watching the rest of what's going on, you know who you're watching most likely? Unless they're really, really good, you're watching the juniors and the seniors continue on. You're watching people that have been doing this for years continue on. You're watching people who have experienced things that you haven't experienced continue on. They've been in band competitions and pouring down rain that you haven't been at. They've been at Bowden when they're booing you walking off. They've been over to Decatur when they're standing throwing rocks at the band as they come in, just because they've been places you haven't been, so they know to listen to things that you didn't know to listen to. And God sometimes wants us to watch what others are going through to see and learn how they went through it, or maybe how they not to go through it. So just because maybe you're in a repositioning place in your life doesn't mean that you don't pay attention to your brothers and sisters. And that's been, I think, a hard thing for this quarantine stuff. And I couldn't be with you guys and see you guys, and we couldn't be together, and I couldn't pray for you. You couldn't pray for me like here. So sometimes God wants us to, when we're standing there waiting, He wants to teach us something. Always watch and learn. Always be prepared to listen to what God's teaching you through other people. Build block by block. So we said, start where you're at. Start where you're at. Start where you're at. Look, Sid, okay, you're like, man, when I read the Word, I don't get all this stuff that Sid Garner gets out of the Word. You know how many hours that man has spent in God's Word? Don't compare yourself to him. Say, yeah, that's cool. I want to know the Word like Sid knows the Word. I want to know the Word like Bill Johnson knows the Word. Yeah, that's great. God puts those people in our lives to stretch us and to push us forward and to make us chase after Him. But don't say, well, I don't know all of Joshua, you know, backwards and forwards, and I can't remember if Ai came before Jericho, so you know what? I'm just going to give up. Forget it. I just can't be a Christian. I'm done. I guess I'll just... This is not for me. It's for somebody else. That's what Satan wants you to do. You are inspired by those people. You are challenged by those people. And you know what? There's people that challenge Sid Garner every day. So, you got to start where you're at. Are you at church? That's a good start. Everybody in this room is here. That's an awesome start. If you're watching this online, that's an awesome start. You stop what you're doing to watch this. I would challenge you, if you can be here, be here. If there's nothing but a vehicle ride keeping you from being in this house, I challenge you to be in this house. Because I need to worship with you. I need to worship with you. I need to hear your voice worshiping God. Because a lot of times when I hear your voice worship God, that helps me worship God. I need you here. If you can't be here, that's keep watching online. That's awesome. But I want to make a challenge to everybody. If you're watching online and the only thing keeping you from being here is the fact that it's easier to be at home than it is to be in the house, that's not why these cameras are up. Where are they at? I'll look at them. Kind of weird. They're not up to make it convenient. They're up for people who can't be. They're up for Jeff Vaughn and people in Texas and you know, places that can't be here. Or if you're sick, or if you do have something going on in your life and you can't be here, absolutely, please, listen to it. But if it's just, I didn't want to get up this morning. Y'all got a new baby. Y'all are here. God rewards that. God loves that. Because I'm sure we're not getting a lot of sleep. I remember how that went. Be here. But don't beat yourself up either. Don't beat yourself up. When God says, hey, use that still small voice. Hey, get in the car. Go to church. Y'all come, please. Be in God's house. Be in God's house. But when we start doing these small things, we come when we're supposed to come. We witness to people we're supposed to witness to. Then God begins to give us more difficult and bigger things to do. Then God will say, hey, you know, maybe you should do this, or maybe you should do that. Or, hey, look, they need some help in the kids program. Hey, look, they need some help on the worship team. Hey, look, you know, James is, he's filled his spot, but you can speak a lot better than him. I've called you to do it. You know what James is going to do? He's going to give you this. Because God will also tell me. Good job. Get back up there. Depending on what's going on. Depending on where we're at and how we're following God. Madeline started on this worship. Both my kids started on this worship team when they were very young. And I will tell you this, especially Madeline's situation. She filled a void that was not supposed to be created for her at that time in her life. With all love and respect, I say that. She carried a burden that she was not supposed to carry at that time in her life because others decided that burden was no longer theirs. And that's okay. And that's their journey and that's their thing with God. But you know what? He empowers those who are filling and standing in a gap. So sometimes you've got to stand in and fill in a gap. And when you're doing that, God will empower you to do that. Okay? So don't run away from things that God has for you. Don't walk away. When He has that big move in your life, that big, oh my goodness, I'm changing my jobs. My wife's job has just changed. She's worked at Higgins General Hospital. So she is 16 years old. And she's about to be in Carrollton. Same hospital, but it's a big change. Crazy change. You know, you think about working someplace since you were 16. But we can't be afraid of it. We've got to embrace what God has for us in front of us. But you have to get to that place where you can listen and hear what God's telling you. And then when that drill down begins to get faster, and where I'm going seems to be crazier, and I'm marching faster, and I'm hearing this command, I'm hearing that command, and that command, and I'm seeing people fall away all around me, because that's another thing. As you're marching, as somebody, they get out, they walk off, and you're being distracted by people walking off. As you see people, other people walking away from the faith, walking away from their calling, maybe not the faith, but where God wants them, where God wants them. No, you're supposed to still be in here with me. We're still supposed to be doing drill together, but you're walking off. Don't be distracted by that. Continue to do what God has you do. Move where He is. Big moves. So God will meet us where we're at. He wants you to start where you're at, but eventually He's going to move us to where He is. Do not expect God to come where you're at all the time. Oh God, I'm over here. I'm doing this. I'm over here. No. At some point you get maturity. At some point we get so close with God, we say, all right, God, thank you for meeting me here. But I see that you are over there. And instead of me standing here saying, God, I'm over here, I'm taking off. I'm taking off to where He is. And I want to get in His presence. So this morning, and that wraps it up. Well, actually, it doesn't wrap it up. John 10, verses 27 through 30. Let's read that real quick, if I can. The section before this, Jesus is actually talking about being the good shepherd, and there's a lot of awesome stuff in that that's talking about hearing His voice. But it says in verse 27 of John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Are you His sheep this morning? Do you know His voice this morning? Because, interesting spin, it doesn't say they know me. He says, I know them. I know them. When we were doing our drill downs, I knew after a little while, I could tell you who was going to get out first. I could tell you who was struggling and who was not struggling. God knows where you're at. He's not shocked when you make that left turn when you're supposed to make that right turn. Doesn't mean He doesn't love you. He knows where you're at. He knows you. And He loves you. And He will stand out there and He will do drill down after drill down in the pouring rain until the sun don't shine anymore because He loves you that much and He wants you to get it. He wants you to get it. And He won't stop. Our God doesn't give up on us. So, man. Well, you just do that. Let me bring this to you. Hang on.
The Lord just teaches me through nature. And I was standing looking out a window about a week ago, and there were birds all over the ground. And they were just pecking away. And, of course, there was one giant that every time someone come around him, he attacked. And that bird would move and go peck somewhere else. And they were cleaning. The Lord told me, said, look up. And there was one bird alone sitting on the feeder, just feasting at his table. And all the gleanings were falling. There were other feeders there, but those birds never left the ground. They kept gleaning. And the Lord said, He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And it's time for us to stop gleaning from James's table and Sid's table and Marty's table and Nick's table. It's time to feast from your own table. That's the only time that you will thrive. You can survive gleaning, but until you start feasting, you'll never survive. Or never thrive. You will survive. Choose to thrive.
Thank you. Thank you. That's good. That's good. And that comes when we hear His voice. And when we hear His voice, you want to be in this Word. Because you realize He's speaking directly to you. You want to be in this Word. And that's great. Yeah, come to church. Hear what we got to say. But at some point, God's going to be like I said, your commands. I have a table prepared for you. Just for you. Don't say for victory. Yeah, I get it. But for you. Individually. God has so much for us individually. Like you say. Amen. That's good. We're so many times content to picking up what's left over. God doesn't want that. He wants us to eat at His table. Amen. Amen. Let's see. Let's worship team, y'all come back up. I want to give everybody opportunity to say yes if they need to say yes this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to say, God, I need to hear your voice better. I want to hear your voice. God, I hadn't even tried to hear your voice, so I'm going to start. And as we enter back in this, these words, hang on. So will I. Sorry, I think I said something else. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. Say yes to Him this morning. Wherever you're at, whatever your next step is, y'all can start playing whenever you get ready. Wherever you're at, just say yes. Don't wait. Don't wait. Start right now. Start right now. Start listening. And you know what happens after you begin to listen? Is you know His voice. And there's no more questions. Heavenly Father, we just come this morning, God. And Lord, as we sing this last worship song to You, God, as we make this last declaration to you on this Sunday morning, God, as we come in and we say, God, so will I. I will begin to listen to you. I will begin to walk, or I continue to walk. Maybe I've been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years. I've been walking with you. I want to walk closer because there's always a closer place to be. God, I pray that we say yes to you this morning. I pray that we walk out of here this morning. We begin to feast at your table this morning. That we begin to burn for you. We begin to burn to hear your voice. We begin to burn to know, what does God want me to do in this situation? How does He want me to react to this situation? God, I pray that you come on this place and you touch your people this morning. Whether they're in their chairs or they come down to this altar, God, I pray that you begin to move. I pray that you begin to move a people towards you that begins to fight to hear your voice. That doesn't mind doing a drill down. They don't mind making a mistake because they know you're going to be right there and you're going to give us another chance and another chance and another chance. And we never learn until, God, that we pick up our cross and we follow you. We never learn until we get on the field. We never learn until we join the band and we just say, we're going to do this thing. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to give it everything I've got. God, I pray this morning that your people begin to give you everything that they've got. That we hold nothing back in reserve. We say, God, what do you want for my life? What do you want from me? We love you so much. What an honor. What an honor. What a privilege, God, to be in your house this morning.